I just got back from a week of camp in Washington State. I got to go back and speak at a camp that I used to direct. And it was a great honor. And it was an amazing time because I got to watch kids and leaders encounter God in a life-changing way. And God used me to deliver the message, which is so humbling, so amazing to be allowed to do that. And on Tuesday night, I was talking with the camp director, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And I had prayed and felt that God wanted me to go to one direction. And they had been praying and felt that God wanted them to go to another direction. So we met in the middle. So I texted Pastor Lance early in the morning on Wednesday. I'm like, Pastor, I had to pray, change my whole message. Will you pray for me? And God met those kids at the altar, and kids were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the best part of it was this, because you never get 350 kids to do this at once. They sat quietly and waited for God to speak. That was good. It was the quietest 3 minutes I've ever experienced in my life around kids. But it was amazing. So we are actually heading to camp tomorrow. Our campers from Christian Center are heading to camp. Here's something amazing. When I came here 6 years ago, my first trip to camp, we took about 15 to 20 campers and leaders and stuff like that. Tomorrow we're taking 60. Come on. Yes. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have an amazing time. And here's what I need from you as a church, if you would do this. Number one, pray for our services. Pray for travel. Money's come in. You know, there's still money trickling in for the campers and stuff like that. Pray for the food. Our food truck isn't going to arrive until 5 p.m. However, we have an amazing cook named Becky Alt, who's going to be cooking for us. And she's problem solved. She's good. She's like, PD, I got you. And I'm like, I'm so happy I have you. And so our food will get there, and camp's going to be awesome. We're going to have spaghetti first night. It's always good. It's better than macaroni and cheese. Amen. You can pray for our kitchen. You can pray for our games, our activities. But most importantly this week, other than praying for the kids to experience God in a life-changing way, I would love for you to pray for our camp speaker. Because our camp speaker is going to pour out in so many different ways. She's a ventriloquist. And so she's going to be using her voice a lot harder than most speakers would. And she's going to have to use this muscle quite a bit, okay? But here's the great part. We have her here with us today. And so I was able to take her to the Mint last night for supper, and then we took her to Oklahoma, and she sang along, she danced, and she laughed. And then hopefully she passed out in a nice hotel room. But this morning, she's going to share with you a little bit. She is the network kids ministry director of Southern California, correct? So she works all the time with children's pastors and leaders and stuff like that. But she's given up a week of her time. Her husband's at home packing the house. She left him at home and pack house because they're moving. And she came up here to enjoy Montana. So would you give it up for my good friend, Robin Garvin?
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor David. If you guys would just chill for a minute, I have to get into a suitcase back here. It's not PJs, okay, so it's not a slumber party. Not that you're not a friendly group of people, but I always pack my own friend just in case. You never know, right? I'm going to bring one out and share with you right now. This is my friend Scarlett. Hey, Scarlett. Howdy, honey. Howdy. Wow. Where's my howdy back? You're what? My howdy back. Friends, where Scarlett comes from? Down south, when someone says howdy, then everyone howdy's back. So would you oblige her and say howdy just like Scarlett? Give him another shot, girl. Howdy! Woo, honey, that was good. Did you like that? I did. Do you feel welcome? I feel so welcome. Well, Scarlett, it is good to see you. I know. It is good to see me, Scarlett. I mean, look at me. I got it going on. Oh. You don't have to announce it. Oh, that's right, because y'all got your own eyes. You can see how cute I am. We can see you're looking fine. You don't have to, you know, be vain. Vain, yeah. You know what vanity is, right? That's that chick on Wheel of Fortune. No, that's Vanna. Okay, what's a vanity? Vanity is And you go around thinking you're hot stuff. Thinking I'm what? Thinking you're hot stuff. Honey, I don't think I'm hot stuff. I know I'm hot stuff. And this girl is on fire. All right. Please. Scarlett, you know what? Maybe you should have been born in Bible days. What's that? Because in Bible days, they actually had a beauty contest for the best lamb. Are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you. I want a piece of that action. You want in? I want in on that game. Okay, all right. All right. To be in this beauty contest, though, there were certain stipulations. What's a stipulation? Like rules. All right. What is it? You got to be, if you're going to be in this beauty contest, to qualify, you have to be clean. You mean like take a bath? Yeah. I got that. Okay, all right. And you have to have no broken bones. I got no broken bones. And you have to have no blemishes. Blemishes? Yeah. You mean like a zit? Sure, okay. All right, are you good? I'm good to go. All right. See, every family would have to choose the very best they had and choose from their flock and choose the best lamb. And I guess that's going to be you. That's right. What do I get? Oh, there are prizes for the whole year, Scarlett. You are going to move into the house. I'm going to move in the house. I'm going in the big house. That's right. And you are going to eat your meals with the family. Nice. And you're going to sleep inside. Yes. And at the end of the year, you're going to go on an all-expense-paid trip. Come on. To the big city of, where are we going? To Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Yeah. Jerusalem. On the Sabbath. All right. So it's the end of the year now. Mm-hmm. And you've had a whole year of being the best lamb. All right. And now it's time for Jerusalem. I love it. All right. And you get there to the big city of Jerusalem and you have to go up because it's uphill and it's just crowded. Why is it crowded? All the families are there with their lambs. This is like the playoffs. Something like that. Okay. All right. Now you're going to go to the temple. All right. The temple of Dune. No, the temple of the Lord. It's not Indiana Jones. No. Temple of the Lord, okay? And you're standing outside with the families, all right? And so the father of your family has got you. He's got me. That's right. And, we're standing in line with all the other families and all the other lambs. And you're waiting in this line to go inside. And you look down on the ground and you see something. What do I see on the ground? That's right there is called a gutter. There's a gutter. You know, a gutter's full. It's full of water, right? No, it's full of water. What's all that red stuff in the gutter? Yeah, what is all that red stuff? I think some that has spilled the Hawaiian punch. What's going down in there? You get inside, and it's your turn, and the father of the family picks you up. That's right, he does. He picked me up. And he sets you down, all right, on a very special table. And you know what comes next? I think I'm going to get a nanny and a teddy. Is this like the star? No. He sets you down, and then the father puts a hand on you. That's nice. And then the oldest son, he puts a hand on you. That's nice, all right? And then the priest, he lays you down, all right, like this. Then I'm not tired. I know, but he lays you down. I'm not even tired. Lay down, okay? All right, he lays you down. Because I'm going to get me a massage. Something like that. All right. And then the priest, he puts a hand on you. That's a lot of hands all over me. I know. And then the priest reaches behind and he picks up a very important instrument. Is it a guitar? Is he going to serenade me? No, Scarlett, he picks up a knife. A what? A knife. Don't you point that thing at me. He's pointing that thing at you because you're the winner. I don't feel like a winner. But see, because you were the best lamb, you get to pay for all the family sins. You get to be the sacrifice. So hold it just a minute. something. Sure. What is it? Get over here. What? I didn't take a bath this morning. You didn't? I don't even know what that deodorant is, okay? I'm feeling funky. Okay. We get the idea. You're telling me that you're not clean. I'm not qualified for the position of which I am holding. I see. So you would like to? I'd like to step down, please. It's all right, girl, because we got you. You're going to do it? You're going to take the knife? No. I'm not going to take the knife. But you're the sinner. Well, the whole house is. Whoa! I'm surrounded by dirty, rotten sinners. We've all blown it. We all blow it. We all choose to go our own way. Well, then what are you doing looking at lambs to take care of all this? That's a good question. You see, there was never enough lambs or enough lamb blood to pay the expensive price, right? So I'm going to ask these folks a question, okay? All right. Check this out, okay? Whatever. All right. Folks, what can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
How did they know that? Did y'all have choir practice this morning or something? That was amazing. I know. I love it. I know. You see, that was what makes us whole. I'm going to ask you to think you know now. I think I got it. All right. Scarlett, what can wash away my sin? Medicine soap on a washcloth. There's no soap, girl. The folks told you, what can make me whole again? Medicine toothpaste on a toothbrush. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You said blood. Yes. That sounds disgusting. Somebody got to bleed. Somebody always has to bleed. Somebody. When we go our own way, it is expensive. But God's own son said, I know my mission. And this is what I came to do. To make it possible for us to be part of God's family. The big, awesome vocabulary word for that is called reconciliation. He made it all right. He made us family. We are family, yes. He brings us into family and belonging, not because we're church people, not because we've done anything spectacular, because his grace is so very good. When he looks at you, friends, I don't care what you've done or where you've grown up, what your roots are, we're all the same, desperate and in need of him. And he says, I make you to belong to me. How good he is. He's so good. That's right. He's so good. I can be in the family. Well, girl, you're not going to be a sacrifice, okay? That's good news. That's right. Oh, happy day. Happy day. Exactly. Like Scarlett, all of us, we are dependent upon him. Hey, if you're praying for us this week, praying for the kids, thank you so much. It was good to share with you this morning. Say goodbye, Scarlett. Goodbye, y'all.
Hi, God.
Hi, Wendy. Ready to go?
Oh, I am so ready for this. I am ready for you to take control and take me wherever I need to go.
Good. I'm glad.
I'm kind of like an apostle. You know, you lead and I follow. Oh, I'm so excited, God. You're going to take control and take the lead and... Jesus, take the wheel. Oh, but you're not Jesus.
Well, technically, I am.
Huh. never mind. Okay. Let's go. I know that you have the perfect plan for my life and that great big mind of yours.
Well, yes. In fact, I do.
Me and God. God and I on a road trip to the next phase of my life.
I'm glad you're excited about it. So I was thinking, we could take 65 West down the highway all the way to Dating. All right?
Dating, yeah. That's what I was thinking, too.
All right.
I Googled it, and I found the perfect route. We're going to go straight through town. It's like a fourth of the time. It'll be perfect.
No. I want to take the highway. Yeah. It's a slow, steady route where we can talk, and I can get to know what's on your heart.
God.
Wendy.
You're wrong. No offense. My man's out there. He's waiting. Time's a ticking. We gotta go. We can figure out what's on my heart later. Look, take the directions. Yeah, come on.
I thought you wanted me to drive.
Well, I...
This is the way that I want to go. Wendy, do you trust me?
I did. I do. I just... Okay. You lead. I'll follow.
Okay. Now we're talking. Let's go. All right.
Well, wait.
How do we start this?
Oh, hold on a minute. I was just looking at my MapQuest app, and there's this great scenic route.
Oh, no.
Just hear me out. It would be awesome. We can check out the scenery, enjoy our time, listen to some tunes. I've got a new CD in there. It would be awesome. Come on.
Those are all distractions. All of them.
You know what? I'll drive. Come on, switch. Let's go.
Wait.
Come on,
listen.
Switch spots.
Wait a second. Wendy, you invited me here. You told me you were ready for me to take you wherever you needed to go.
Yeah.
But if you keep insisting on the path that we should take and how quickly we need to get there, how is that letting me drive at all?
So who's driving your car? Has anybody ever taken a ride and it didn't turn out the way you planned? Anybody? Yeah? I have many a times. I just want to talk about one time in particular. When I was in Yakima, I worked for a place called Inland Awning. We'd sold patio covers and stoves, and we had to go do service calls and stuff like that. And we had a new guy on the team, and he was from the Lower Valley, which was part of the Yakima Valley, and he thought that he knew the city better than I did. So he's like, I'm driving. So as we were traveling, we were having a discussion on where to go. And it started to snow, and it was a rear-wheel drive truck, and we started arguing. And about halfway through the trip, he said, why don't you just drive? I was like, that's fine with me. I'll drive. And so we began to drive, and we're heading down the road, and is a sharp corner. And there was a quick turn just like this. And as I started to turn, he grabbed the wheel and pulled it down. And we ended up in the ditch. And we had to wait 3 hours for a tow truck to come get us because they were already towing other people out. So as we sat there, I was very frustrated. I was also not saved at the time. So my tongue began to say things that I probably should have never said. However, we had a really good come to Jesus moment, as you should say. About who's driving and who should touch the steering wheel. And it was not very good, though. It was not the best day out there. When life isn't going how we like, because it wasn't going my way and it wasn't going his way. And so it became a fight. And we don't trust God. It's easy to take the wheel from him, to boss him around and try to force him to do things our way. Anybody said, God, I'm just going to do it my way? I'm thankful for the honest people in this room. Even the best person, even the person that's very close to God, can sometimes end up in a spiritual ditch. Why not let God drive? It's a lot easier. So here's a few benefits of when we're driving with God, especially when life is hard. The first one is this, peace. Psalm 46:10, I'm going to read it from the NLT, and then I'll read it from a different version first. But it says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Just like I said at that camp, those kids were still for a solid 3 minutes, and it was amazing. Psalm 46:10 in the NASB says this, cease striving and know that I am God. I don't know about you, but I've never had a success trying to boss somebody around while attempting to learn how to trust them. Trying to be in control and relinquishing control doesn't, at the same time, doesn't work for me. They can't coexist in the same heart. It's not easy to be the boss and try to trust somebody like that you don't know very well. But we know God. But yet we choose to control the situations in our life. When we let God drive our lives and trust He knows best, we're able to rest and stop striving, which means we'll ultimately experience peace. In the original Hebrew language, the phrase cease striving indicates giving up by letting our hands down. I don't know about you, but when you take your hands off the wheel and you're driving, something bad could happen, right? Not all the cars that go down the road straight. In Montana, the roads are slanted, so you end up going this way. Done it lots of time trying to eat a cheeseburger. But this means we can't hold the steering wheel. We have to let God drive. If we want God to drive, we can't drive too. We can't be like, well, you know what, God, I think this way's a little bit better. I think this way's a little bit better. Quite honestly, He's the best navigator for our lives. We got to let our hands down if we want to experience peace. We got to let go of the wheel. In order, if we do that, the next part comes this. It's rest. How many of you guys need rest? Summer is an amazing season for me. I love summer. I love the fact that from the minute kids get out of school, we jump right into camps. Boys camp, girls camp, come home, a couple days off, fireworks. And I'll tell you what, I love fireworks. There's something inside of me that y'all, it's amazing. There's something that being able to minister to people and talk with people, it's so awesome. I love the opportunities to go out and Uber at night because you get to meet people and you get to invite them to church. But rest, sometimes that escapes me because sometimes I'm too busy driving the car, not letting God do it. And Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's in the NIV version. When you trust and decide to let God to drive, there's a natural rest that will occur. Imagine this. You're driving the car. Let's say it's with your spouse or your kids or something like that. And they're in the passenger seat. And they're constantly yelling at you to go up a certain direction or a certain way. Or they actually reach over and grab the wheel. Could you imagine that? Now, I know there's times where my wife's driving and I holler at her, like, go this way or go that way. Slow down. Back off that guy. Don't go over the bumps. I'm trying to sleep. That was on the way home from camp. Imagine a pastor who's just sitting there reading a book, looking at scenery, not complaining. Which would you rather ride with? The person who's telling you, barking, and complaining, nagging, or the person who's quiet and peaceful? I know for me, I love to hear the music. I don't want to hear anybody tell me where I need to go. My daughter is very good at memorizing roads, and she tells me where to go all the time. At one point, when she turned 16, I can't wait for the day to sit in the back seat and go, you're going too fast, you're going too slow. Dad, that's not the right way. Why are you going this way? That's not the way we normally go. Let me drive. But we do that to God. God, that's not the normal direction. Well, this isn't the path I have for you. We're not going fast enough, God. Well, I want you to wait. I love just being a passenger sometimes in the car and just enjoying my Starbucks. Being able to eat my sunflower seeds. And it used to be that I could never fall asleep in the car. But since I turned 40, oh, lean that seat back and I'm out. We went all the way through Idaho and almost to Missoula with me sleeping. That's a nice ride. Think about the passenger that doesn't have time to enjoy a thing because they're too busy because they're in control or trying to control things. But they would only trust. They'd only trust God. They too could rest. Which passenger are you in the ride with God? Which passenger are you in the car with your spouse? There's even time when we're in the car by ourselves that we're the bad passenger. The next one is this, contentment. Proverbs 14:30 says, a peaceful heart, or a heart at peace gives life to the body. Peace. How many know when we're stressed out, our body does not react well? I know that when I'm tired and I'm not feeling well, I begin to get cold sores and I get sick. I just want to sleep. I don't want to do anything. I become lethargic. But there's a lot of things that I like to do, but here are some that I don't like to do. I don't like to suck water through my lungs like a fish. I don't like to hug. I don't like missing out on a good nap, especially on Sunday afternoons. I don't like to read books about quantum physics. Why? Here you go. Because God didn't design me to be sucking water through my lungs. He designed me to be like this. I'm not a fish. He designed me to love people in my own way, and hugs are not them. But I will give you a good hug if it's given. I don't like foregoing sleep, especially on Sunday afternoon. And reading books makes my brain like that, makes my brain feel like it's in a vice. There's some people can read that book and be like, oh, that's so amazing. I read the comics. No difference. Listen, God didn't design me for these things. If he did, I'd feel exhausted, fatigued, and ill. But he made me in a different way, a way that I can be at peace with in my body. When we try to take the wheel from God, and because we don't trust him, it'll lead us to two things, emotional and spiritual fatigue. And then that's when we begin to do things that we normally wouldn't do. We start to sin. We start to become lazy in our walk with God. We begin to be more dependent on ourselves and less dependent on him. God made us to lean on him in his dependence and to let him to drive, which leads to contentment and the confidence that we are exactly where we need to be, doing what we need to do and fulfilling the role he created us for. This will usher in deep contentment. When I went back to Washington last week, a lot of my friends were at the camp and they're saying, so how long are you going to be in children's ministries? How long are you going to keep doing that thing? Because some of them are starting to make the transition from children's ministries to other roles. And I said, I'm in it until God tells me to do something else. I'm happy to be where I'm at. I'm not praying, God, take me somewhere else. Help me to do something else. Because here's the deal. Where God has me, I'm content. And not to the content where I'm lazy and lethargic. Content where I know he's moving in my life and I'm growing because of what he's doing in my life. Because I'm letting him take the wheel. Are there times where I yank it? Absolutely. There's sometimes I get so hard that we spin in circles. And by the grace of God, he stops it before I crash. The next piece is this. We need to have communication. When we give God the wheel and we're driving, we need to have communication. The Uber app has kind of spoiled me as far as driving through town in Bozeman because now I know where back roads are, and so I don't really use the map. But sometimes the customer goes, you're going the wrong way. It's the other way. But in my brain, because I've gotten lazy, I don't listen to the map. I don't do what it says. Sometimes I have to ask my wife for directions. She looks on her phone, she gives me the directions, and I'm like, no, that's not the right way to go. I know, I've been there before. But if I don't know the direction that God wants me to go, if I'm not talking to him, I have no idea which way to go in the map. So I have to do this. We have to, in Hebrews 4:16, it says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Have you noticed that it's hard to communicate with someone you don't trust? if somebody's hurt you or you don't know them, you can't fully communicate with them. The more you talk to God, the more you know of God. The more you talk to God and you stop and listen, even greater, you will know God. Because so many times we get busy with our communication. God, I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. God, tomorrow I'm doing this and I need you to be here. Instead of us going, God, what do you have for me? And we sit quietly. Over the last year and a half in journaling, which I'm not the most amazing person at doing it, and I'm not always the most successful throughout each and every week, but I've learned how to stop and listen so that the Father can communicate to me. Like I said about that Holy Spirit night at camp, God, I felt, gave me one direction, and they felt that God had given them a direction. And together we listened for where we should go. We stopped, we prayed, and God gave us a direction, and we went that direction. And had we both been resistant, I don't think that God would have the opportunity to move because our stuff would have been in the middle. But because we stopped and we communicated, and communication is a two-way street. At home, I can listen to my wife just enough to be able to give her stuff back. I'm pretty good at it. You went to the store. You bought this. Tomorrow somebody's coming over. I have to do my own laundry. You didn't even listen to me. I said your mom called and she's not coming over tomorrow. Oh, yeah, something like that. Imagine a passenger trying to steal the wheel. Imagine they're saying, the words out of their mouth probably aren't very nice. I know sometimes when I'm driving my own car and I'm taking the wheel, I know the words out of my mouth are like, man, God, why don't you do this? Why don't you hurry up? I'm trying to get there. And maybe even worse. I'll just do it on my own. People, if they're trying to take the wheel, probably not nice. They're probably not saying, you know what? You should take a left, please. I've ridden in a vehicle with people that are very backseat dominant. And I've sat in the passenger seat and just gone, oh my gosh, shut up. That's as loud as I'm going to communicate to you, because if I do, then it could be louder. Anybody been in that situation? Oh, I wish they would just be quiet. Instead of saying, you know what, why don't you just let this person drive? Because clearly they're going the right direction. And they've done it a few times. The other person that's in the resting in the passenger seat that's quiet, they're like tastes of honey. The words that are coming out of them are nice and kind. You know what? You're doing such an amazing job driving. I'm so thankful that you're getting us there safe. Can we stop by another Starbucks? Their words are sweet. They're relaxed. They don't feel threatened. They're kind. They're just chatting away with the driver like, hey, this is an awesome trip. The sky is blue, the grass is green, and we're on the road, if you know what I mean. We're trying to steal away from God, the wheel, our communication with them is hindered. Words of gratitude will be replaced by, when we stop doing that, words of gratitude will be replaced by complaining. When we stop communicating with God, we just start complaining. God, you're not doing what I need you to do. Well, he may be trying to communicate with us going, I have something else for you. So the more that we talk with him, the more our words become kind. And we're not complaining and not feeling like I'm getting left out. You'll find that it's easier for you to praise with your mouth. The last and most important piece is this love. We know that love is the most important thing that Jesus talks about. In his book, Reflections for Ragamuffins, Brennan Manning writes this: you will trust God only as much as you love him. You will also only love God as much as you trust him. Folks, as we drive along in our journey in life, you'll find confidence in God's love is always coupled with trust. And this means this: let him drive. Trust him that he'll take you to the right place. No matter what season you're in, put your trust in him. And through your trust, the more that you trust him, the more that you'll love him. And the more that you love him, the more that you'll trust him. And he will get you to the right place. When love and trust are combined, they're a match to faith. They will set your confidence on fire so you can ride anywhere with God without fear. When you have those two things, that trust and love and that faith together, no matter where God takes you, you're just like, I don't care if it rocks me back and forth like a roller coaster. I don't care if we go upside down, if we twist, if we go backwards, if we go a different direction than we're normally used to. I'm going with God because that's the way I want to go. So, are you convinced that going with God is the best way? Letting him drive is the best way. Because you might be sitting there today going, you know, there's some things I want to keep driving on. I think I can steer a little bit better than God can in this one. Just like in that video. Hey, all right, God, you get out. I'm going to drive. You're not doing what I want you to do. Hop out. That's right. Get out. I'm driving. No. Here's the wheel. Jesus take the wheel, but here's the wheel. It can be hard, especially if you're a my way type of person. It's hard to give up that wheel. It's hard for me sometimes to let my wife drive Bianca, my car. My wife is a great driver. She's very attentive to the road. She gets us there safely every time. But sometimes it's still hard for me to go, here you go. Here's the keys. Why don't you just drive your own car? It's a nice car. But it's not that hard for me to drive all the time, to be in control. But with God, it's that mesh right there. Which one are we going to do? Is there a situation in your life where you know you go, here we go. You drive. Here, God, here's the wheel. You just take it. I'm going wherever you take me. Or are you yanking on it and yelling at him and complaining about where you're going? Because here's the deal. Anywhere with God is better than anywhere we can take ourselves. So, are you going to give it back to him today? Give him the keys, give him the wheel, and let him drive. Please bow your heads. I just have one challenge for you today. What do you need to do to give God the wheel back, to allow him to drive? So today, Father, I ask that you would search our hearts. I pray that you would just bring to our minds the things that we need to give to you so that you can fully control the vehicle. Because God, the ride with you is better than any ride that we can provide for ourselves. And Lord, you will take us to places that we could never imagine if we just sit back, relax, and trust you. So God, I thank you for your love, that no matter what, even we try to do our things our own way, you still love us, even in our own sinful ways, Father. Just as Robin shared, Lord, you provided a way for us, the blood of your Son. And even though we take over our own vessels, our own cars, our own lives, you stand waiting like the prodigal father with arms of love. So God, this week, as our my friends and family think about this word, Lord, I pray that you would just bring to their minds those things they need to give to you so that you can drive. God, I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Have an amazing morning and enjoy this beautiful weather. Amen.